February 7th, 2020, 14 hours, 0 minutes, 33 seconds.
Adam.
Hey, Adam. It's Sergeant Alvinter, NPD.
Hey there.
All right. So where were we? Okay. So they decided that your argument wasn't...
Exactly. So then the attorney for the other side goes and attaches a lien to a house in my name.
Okay.
To begin collecting the judgment. So
okay.
After
interesting.
That, I go to the appeal court. And I said the same thing. Hey, wait a minute. Something's seriously wrong here. And I was still, again, like I said, confused about what had happened because, just in different terms, they're pulling a scam, and they duped me with it to some degree. So I was still trying to figure out what they were doing. So I write my complaint, and they say, nope, this is not punishment. It's something called disgorgement.
Okay.
All right. So then I start doing some more research, and I find out that the U.S. Supreme Court has just ruled in a case regarding disgorgement, and it was through something called SEC disgorgement. It's basically when the Securities and Exchange Commission comes after somebody and says, hey, you did all this illegal trading. You can't profit from it. You have to give us all the money back that you made, the profits that you made. So what I find out about a disgorgement action is that it only applies to profit. It's based upon California's public policy that says you can't profit from your own
money. Okay, and what is it for that?
Oh,
they haven't took that yet.
They have not taken that. So they poo-pooed all of that.
Okay.
They said, nope, it's not punishment.
And we're at the Superior Court level.
We're at the appellate court level
okay.
this time. Yeah, so then I write a brief to apply to the California Supreme Court
okay.
for them to review my case,
mm-hmm.
and that review is discretionary. So they
meaning, what does that mean?
It means that they can choose to do it or not.
Or not.
It's not that they have to. It's not like, you know, a crime occurred.
And they haven't decided on it.
Right. They have to. They can decide whether they want to take the case or not.
But as of now, they
denied it.
Oh, they denied it. Okay, they decided not to.
They decided not to take the case. They
okay.
did not. They did not hear what would be called the merits of the case. They
mm-hmm.
didn't hear the issues. They just said, you know, we're not taking it. And I think part of the reason for that is because they have several previous cases that have come up under this issue.
So when that happens, and that
yes,
okay.
exactly. So after that, I wrote to the U.S. Supreme Court, and they didn't want to take it. Well, in the midst of not taking mine, they threw out 1,000 other petitions that they didn't want to hear.
About your case?
Including my case.
Oh, okay. Right. Oh, along with other petitions as well.
Exactly.
Got it.
Exactly. So then I went to the federal court, and
okay.
I said, hey.
Like a district court.
A federal district court.
Okay.
Exactly. This happened in October of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, what they're doing here is unlawful. They cannot take $1 million of my property without due process. There has to be a law that says that they can take my property
mm-hmm.
before they take it. And the law does not say that. And so I just got the ruling yesterday, and the judge wrote about 6 pages, and she denied my claim, claiming that...
This is the district court.
District court judge,
okay.
yes. And she said, basically, you already had a trial in California.
Mm-hmm.
You can't come to the federal court
right.
and have another trial.
Okay.
And my argument had been to her was that this is a penal action. They took a civil action that So in law, that there's two types of things. You've heard of civil and penal, obviously.
Right.
Criminal and civil.
Right.
There also are words called penal and remedial.
Okay.
So
what does that mean?
In civil actions, they're typically remedial, meaning someone comes in and they say, hey, you damaged my car. Here's the evidence of the damages. Pay me $1,000.
And remedy the situation.
Exactly.
Okay.
So someone comes in and presents damages. Now, under penal law, as you know, there has to be a victim in order for there to be a crime.
Mm-hmm.
You have to prove damages, usually, but there are instances where there are penal actions, such as robbery, where there may be a victim, but there is a fine attached to that crime for violating the offense.
Okay?
So that's what they're doing in these cases, is they are creating a fine that is not remedial because the people don't come in and they don't prove any damages. They just say, hey, the guy didn't have a license. Give me $1 million back. And the court says, okay, here you go.
Okay.
You get to keep the house and you get another $1 million.
Uh-huh.
And clearly, that violates the excessive fines clause.
Mm-hmm.
So where I'm coming from with this and why I'm reaching out to you to make a crime report is because they declare that there are three items of evidence that have to be on the record to make this claim, like elements of an offense,
mm-hmm.
and they're not there. And so because they're not there, they committed fraud on the court, or general fraud under 484, and now they are using that as the authority for this other party and the lawyer to come and seize my property.
Mm-hmm.
It's not actually mine. It's my mother's, but it's in my name.
Right, right. The lien, the property in lien.
Exactly,
right.
Exactly. And this is not okay. I mean, this is, before I retired from the police department, I worked major fraud and forgery.
Mm-hmm.
So I have experience investigating and looking at all this stuff. I've gotten the legislative history records. I have all of it. And no one is doing anything about it. And this theft has been going on for decades. And
the judgment from the court.
Yes. Well,
right.
The other one. This law has been in effect since 2001.
So which court is the one? This thing.
Central
was that the
Justice
Superior
Center.
Court?
Yes, Santa Ana. Central Justice okay. Center, Santa Ana.
Superior so the Superior Court. Court California, thank you, Cambridge. This is a matter type of thing.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So how is it? What is you're inquiring about an hour in the police department?
Okay. I would like to make a crime report.
About?
Because it is a crime to, I don't know exactly what 484 says. I can go pull it up.
No, it's just, let's just say it's just.
Through misrepresentation and defrauding.
Okay.
So you defraud somebody and you misrepresent something and then you take their property. And I would even go beyond that.
And who's defrauding here? Who's the
judges,
state?
The judges. Yes, the judges.
In their judgment.
Yes.
In their judgment. So by their judgment, you're saying that.
Yes, it would be like. If one of your officers came to my house and arrested me and said, hey, you're wearing a pink shirt, you can't have a pink shirt, and so I'm going to fine you $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
And I called you and I said, hey, I want to make a complaint. And you said, well, what's the crime? I said, that's the point. What is the crime? He wants to take $1 million from me, and there's no law that says he can do it. It hasn't actually ever been enacted.
Right.
And so then now I'm right. saying to you, they're trying to take my property under color of law without any authority. That's the same thing.
But all the other.
That's why I'm calling you.
So how does it not the avenues of the court? System, the judicial system, that hey, I was wrong here, or this is an inaccurate accurate or a wrong judgment. Let me appeal to this court, and either they say yay or nay or refuse to even hear the case. But I don't know how we can get involved in this matter.
Because everything that you just talked about was my civil remedy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a criminal remedy if, like, let's say a judge goes out and he steals something from somebody. That's a clear-cut case. The guy committed theft.
Yes, but if he does it through his bench, through the judgments that...
So no, because
if he steals,
still committed...
If he goes to the parking lot and steals... by any means,
right,
is that when he makes a decision off the understanding of course, and would be to go through the system that's in
and
another type of angle to do that. I don't see it from
I do totally hear what you're saying, but there is also a point, and it's the point that I'm coming from,
mm-hmm.
where someone sitting, if we put it, let's put it in the context, maybe an example isn't coming to mind, but maybe we can come up with one together, where let's say one of your officers commits a crime while on duty. Are we going to say that he did that in his personal capacity and so it's not a crime?
What factor that will determine your fate?
Right.
But the judge, in his capacity, based on testimony, evidence, and it's
correct.
Not like we have the ability on our to find judgment.
Correct.
The courts will decide.
Correct.
I hear you. I get it. It matters to your family. We, as a police,
okay, so let me give you this example.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say again that we'll use the pink shirt example. One of your officers goes out and he sees someone wearing a pink shirt and he arrests them. Because you're under arrest for wearing a pink shirt, and I'm taking you to jail. And so then the person asks, well, under what law and authority are you doing that under? And he said, well, it's a law. It's a crime. You broke a crime. You broke the law. You're going to jail, and I'm filing these charges against you. Okay? Same thing. A judge can only act within the scope of his law. The minute that officer places that person or takes that person into custody or detains them, there's been no authority.
Right, but for example, let's go back to the shirt real quick. You owe money based on this, then the appellate court is to now if
well,
the appellate court decides that he's in the
The difference is, you see, when your officer made that arrest, he exceeded his authority or he did something that he was not authorized by the state to do. In fact, he committed a crime.
Right. So you would have if it was an unlawful arrest.
Right, and the DA could also prosecute the officer for false arrest, deprivation of rights, all of the criminal side of it as well.
Correct, correct.
Okay.
So there is that ability if it was that egregious. And
that's what I'm talking about.
Then your case here...
So I reached out to them already,
See?
And I have a written letter from them saying that they do not investigate these types of crimes.
Right.
So the AG's office isn't it.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm reaching out to you, because essentially... Let's put it in a different context really quick.
Okay.
Let's just say that the judge commits a crime while in the scope of his duty. Commit the crime, penal code. Violates the penal code while in the course of...
Right, so let's just say something is so... Because I just do not like him, and I would not be the county prosecutor, and it would be law enforcement. You already dealing with, and the AG's office is already telling you in their rep.
So that's why I'm coming to you, saying that you have a crime essentially that was committed. Again, assuming that what I'm saying
I don't see a crime. I see that. I do not know the ins and outs. Attorney. Oh, is see how it's going to be a matter as far as or completing a crime for fraud and theft or nature.
Okay. I thought I would reach out, and you have been so cool and understanding, and you have listened to me, and I am so grateful for that. But I wanted to check with you first to ensure that you guys were not on the same page, and that's totally fine. My position, as you well know, is that no one's above the law. And so if
I agree.
A judge commits a crime, and I come to you as the public official that has the duty to enforce the law when a criminal act has been taken against me and that someone is attempting to deprive me of my rights and property and liberty, and I come to you and I'm screaming out for help to all the different agencies of California, and no one's listening, and then I go...
I'm listening, Adam. I waited to have this conversation one-on-one. I did not...
True. You're right about that. I totally concede. Okay, when I say no one's listening, no one is taking remedial action.
Got it. Understood.
Okay.
Got it.
Sorry. Thank you for correcting me there. You're right. So that's what I'm talking about here.
Right.
And what I get what you're saying, where this is not just some run-of-the-mill, you know, 459 report or something simple that's cut and dry that's in the nature of the police department operation. But at the same time, even if we just hypothetically assume that what the judge did was egregious and criminal, and I come to you and say I want to make a criminal complaint because this public official committed this crime. He violated the penal code, and here's how he did it. And then I come to the police department. The police department says, whoa, this is a judge. He just did something in the course and scope of his duty, and, you know, you got to call someone else.
Not exactly. I mean, statutes that were violated, that says as far as the penal, he and decided that
Right, but the judgment has to be within the law, and it has to be based upon evidence.
Right, and that is what the appellate courts are for.
Okay.
Watch the matter, Sergeant Alcantar. I can't hang on much longer. Do you need my information or what else? What can I provide?
Nothing. I was just going to read you part of 484 and just share that, you know, like really quickly the example of if one of your cops pulled me over and they took $500 that was in my console, right. That would be theft.
No, I get it. I mean, I get your argument. I totally understand your position.
Sure, that would be great.
So it's Sergeant Alcantar.
Okay.
And that's A-L-C-A. And my badge, 258.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Hey, Adam, good luck with all this.
Thank you. No, I can tell you're a good guy, and I appreciate your time and your sincerity and your help. Thank
All
you
right,
so
sir.
Much.
Have a good one.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
February 7th, 2020, 14 hours, 26 minutes, 16 seconds.